Next, Outdoor Radio, a monthly feature on VPR where we take you outside to learn about the natural world with biologists Kent McFarland and Sarah Zahendra from the Vermont Center for Eco Studies. Today, they're at a deer reporting station in Barrie, talking about how the Vermont Fish and Game Department manages the white-tailed deer herd.
Kent, we are standing on a very cold, blustery fall day outside of R&L Archery in Barrie, Vermont, which is a legal deer reporting station. And this is the second day of youth season.
And youth season is one of the most important parts of the deer hunting season because it's when the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department can collect some really important data about deer health, sex, and ages that help them manage the herd.
Exactly. And so we're going to talk to John Buck from Vermont Fish and Wildlife. We're going to talk all about the data that they take and then why is it important that they manage the deer herd in the first place.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies.
Welcome to Outdoor Radio.
Sarah, let's go see if they brought any deer in yet, and maybe we'll get lucky and they'll have something ready for us.
All right, let's go.
We have a youth hunter who's gotten a deer, and he's come in, as all deer hunters need to do when they get a deer, he's come in to report the deer to the state so we can collect information about the hunter and also about the deer. Biologists from the department are here collecting biological information from every deer that is reported because it's very, very valuable information that allows us to construct a picture of Vermont's deer herd. And we look at things like age of deer, we look at the sex distribution between males and females, we look at body size dimensions like weight, we look at antler development. All of these are key indicators to how healthy the deer population is. And all of this has implications to the total size of the deer herd and the habitat that it's living on, and which, of course, has implications to all of the other animals that live in that same habitat.
What if we weren't to manage the deer population? Right. What kind of ecological damage would that do?
Deer are what we consider to be a keystone species. Those are the species that, when they are out of balance in some way, they have these magnifying effects on our landscape, on our ecosystem. As go the deer, so goes our landscape, really. Yeah. Deer have the capability of overrunning the landscape. They're a prey species through evolution. They need to reproduce often and produce lots of deer on a regular basis. That's how they withstand the predatory impacts of humans, of wolves, and catamounts. So they breed when they're young, they have lots of deer throughout a long period of their lives. And now we don't have catamounts and wolves actively preying on deer in Vermont and in the Northeast, and it's really unlikely that will happen in the near future. So in terms of any kind of restoration or achieving some kind of age-old predator group out there, the three big major predators, it's really humans are the principal predators for deer now. And to maintain a deer population that is in balance with its habitat not only benefits deer, but it benefits all of the ground nesting birds and mammals because of the understory in the forest that's allowed to thrive and be diverse in its species and the age structure of those species and the physical diversity of those plant species in the forest. It allows not only the ground nesting birds, but the mid canopy birds, and those trees can grow old and become top canopy habitats for the birds that live in the top of the forest as well, too. So too many deer really has a significant impact on lots of different species.
All of this comes back to why are we managing the herd in the first place? And it's all of those things that you just talked about.
Just so important. There's this entire ecological picture that humans play an important role in, and we're part of that system, and we want to be taking a responsible part in that activities.
So every deer that's harvested in season has to come to one of these check stations.
Yes, it does.
And all this data from every single deer is taken.
Correct.
Wait a second. I want to figure out which data it is that we're taking, and then why is it important to get a lot of this data on youth weekend in particular?
During the youth deer season, one of the unique features is that youths are allowed to take one deer of either sex. So we not only get buck information for antlers and weight on the male deer, but also we get to look and examine female deer, too. And we're interested in their age. We're interested in their weight as well. And so when we are able to compare the two sexes, that's where we begin to get a complete picture of what the deer herd looks like.
So it's really important that you collect as much data as you can on this weekend in particular.
Yes, and then in subsequent weekends we'll backfill a lot of other information on male deer as well.
What are some of the other variables that you're putting into some of these models to figure out how the herd is doing now and into the future? Are there things like winter weather? But what are some of the other things that you really have to look at?
So winter weather is important, Kent, because it has a great deal of effect on survivorship. And when we compare body size by age, that has a relative impact on survivorship. You know, fawns have the greatest difficulty surviving winter, and then so do older deer. The younger, middle-aged deer usually do quite well in an average or a mild winter.
Well, what strikes me is that looking at some of the past population estimates you can get online at your website is that the stability lately of the herd looks like management has really done well. I mean, you have these goals of keeping the herd at a certain size, and it looks like it's stayed that way for the last bunch of years.
Yeah. This information is really valuable because there are decades here. We're able to compare and look at trend analysis over time. There's not a lot of guesswork. We know that certain winter weather results in certain survivorship, so we can react to that a little more quickly than we might have 40 and 50 years ago when we didn't have that kind of information.
One of the things that I mentioned that fascinates me most is that you take a tooth and that you are able to age the deer based on looking at a tooth.
Because deer teeth have a continuous growth to them, and in northern latitudes like Vermont, there are defined slowdown periods in that growth, the winter. So the tooth doesn't grow as fast, and so it has this compacted look to it, which in effect is a ring.
So it's like they have growth rings, like a tree.
It's exactly what they have. So in the root of every deer tooth are growth rings. We extract a tooth, so the root is then sectioned, and these very thin slices, wafers, are cut off the root.
So literally, if I looked under this microscope, what I would see are spaces where you could see growth, and then darker areas that are the rings, and I could count those rings, and if I saw four, I could say it's a four-year-old deer.
We see 8, 9, 10 years old for deer in the female portion of the herd very routinely. The oldest males get to be 5, 6, 7 years old. The oldest females are well into their teens.
Yeah, I looked at some of the data online that you had, and there was 14, 15-year-old females in your data set. I couldn't believe
it.
That's
right. When you think about a female deer capable of bearing fawns up until her early teens or so, so that as a grandmother, she's producing fawns, and it has an extreme bearing on the number of deer that can potentially be put into the population.
Well, John Buck, this has been fascinating. And one of the things I like best about it is the white-tailed deer is a common species that everybody sees, and I think a lot of us don't pay much attention to their ecology and to their natural history.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll let you get back to work.
Thank you.
And I'm getting out of the cold.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
You can learn more about the white-tailed deer at vpr.net. Outdoor Radio is produced in partnership with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies, with support from the Jackie and Dorothy Byrne Foundation.